Max Olson. Always great talking college football with Max. He joins us now on Three-Man Front and Jack's 94.5. Max, hope you're doing well. First of all, announcement yesterday from Larry Scott and the Pac-12. Were you as surprised as we were when the statement came out that they would allow student-athletes to return on June the 15th?
Well, you know, it's the Pac-12, so we're always you're always a little concerned about are they keeping up with the rest of the Power 5 leagues. But, you know, all the steps that we've seen over the last few days, last week, have certainly been encouraging. You know, obviously it makes sense that we're kind of running into that deadline now where coaches need to know what's going on to start getting their programs prepared. But the fact that you're seeing these leagues, you know, be able to take this action to get their teams back on campus, and it seems like they're doing so in a way where they have coordinated with each other, and just the rollout of this has been you know, you're certainly encouraged that I think this is definitely a step in the right direction.
Max, it was, what, a couple weeks ago we heard from Lincoln Riley, and he sort of thought of that early June was sort of a joke and laughable about students returning to campus. Do you think Oklahoma is going to roll in and allow their student-athletes back in campus in June?
No, it's funny. I think because Lincoln Riley kind of took that stance, OU has backed it up. OU is not going to go back to campus till July 1. And they announced that yesterday, and they're doing that because their medical experts that they're leaning on are, you know, continue to tell them that the best thing they can do is to go back as late as possible. So they felt like July 1 was as late as they can go back to still get ready for a season. Obviously, it's interesting to make that move and you know, go back to campus 2 weeks later than Texas and all of their rivals in the conference. So, you know, I'm curious to see kind of how that works for OU, but they stuck by Lincoln Riley's stance on that one, and I don't know if that's they feel like they want to be on the right side of history with that or what that reason is, but it's an interesting choice for sure.
Max, you've got a story up at The Athletic right now. You can go to theathletic.com and find it, and it's a sit-down with Tom Herman, coach of Texas, and you look at his record, and heading into season four, I believe, and kind of where it's gone and the ascension and where that program is, we were running through just the percentages. And I think it was Pro Football Focus yesterday that ran 10,000 simulated games. And they had Oklahoma with a 36% chance somewhere around there to win the Big 12. And Aaron and I were kind of going back and forth. This year, just looking at Oklahoma, the question at quarterback, Ellinger coming back, the rest of that conference, looks like the Big 12 is maybe more wide open than it's been in some time.
Yeah, you know, I think for Texas, this is, you know, 2020 is the season that they've circled for a long time. And that's not just because Sam Ellinger is a senior, but just with the way that their recruiting has gone, the guys that, you know, they put together back-to-back top three recruiting classes, and now, you know, those guys are juniors and sophomores now. They're going to be able to put 8 or 9 upperclassmen in the starting lineup on both sides of the ball. So this is the year when Texas needs to strike. The fact that Oklahoma is going to go with a freshman at quarterback and Spencer Rattler, that's not official, but that seems pretty dang likely at this point. There's definitely an opportunity here. It's a good year for the Big 12, where pretty much everybody except for Oklahoma and Kansas has their quarterback back. You're going to have some teams like Iowa State and K-State that continue to get better, and Oklahoma State, you know, they really believe in Stillwater. They have a chance to win the Big 12 this year. So I'm with you. I think it is a wide-open year, and Oklahoma's got to replace some really high-level guys, not just Jalen Hurts, but, you know, CeeDee Lamb and Kenneth Murray.
Max, you think – let me ask you this way. What do you expect from Baylor this year? Obviously, the great year that they had last year. We haven't seen Dave Aranda run that program, and we know how much everyone thought of their previous coach, and you sort of chronicled his love of wearing that mock shirt, whatever he called it. But joking aside, what are you expecting from Dave Aranda at Baylor this year?
Yeah, this is tough. I think Matt Rhule was wise to make his move when he did, because that 2019 Baylor team that played for a Big 12 title and got to go to the Sugar Bowl was a really senior led team. Baylor lost 254 career starts off their defense this offseason. There's not another team in the country that lost that much on defense. So Dave Aranda is going to have to completely rebuild what they did on D, and the defense was the reason that they went as far as they did last year. They've got to fix that. I think what they're doing offensively is pretty interesting. He hired Larry Fedora to be his OC. He brought George Munoz with him from LSU, who really helped Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger a lot. So I think offensively they could be pretty fun if they can keep Charlie Brewer healthy. I think they've got some solid skill talent that should be better on the offensive line. But make no mistake, it's a rebuilding year for Baylor, and probably going to be a fight to, you know, can you get to six wins?
Max Olson of The Athletic joining us, talking college football here on Three Man Front and Jocks 94.5. Also at The Athletic, see, you talked to Les Miles in that Kansas program, and people kind of forget. I did watch, it was a documentary I think that ESPN had put out, and it kind of followed Jeff Long around with the process of hiring him. And just so interesting to see Les Miles behind the scenes and how he works with his staff and kind of how he coaches. Just based on the conversation and looking at Kansas, Les Miles year two, how big of a jump can they make in 2020 as opposed to 2019?
Well, you know, I sat down with Les Miles for probably 45 minutes at the end of February, and it was a classically baffling conversation with Les Miles. But he's very, very Les still. But I'll tell you what, I think he's put together a pretty solid staff. I think the OC change that he made in the middle of the season last year to promote Brett Dierman, who's a Gus Malzahn guy, I think was a really smart move that makes them a lot more fun offensively. Puka Williams is one of the most explosive playmakers in the country at running back for them. So I think they can score some points, but they were just awful defensively last year. It's going to be a real process to build that back up. But, you know, they actually did have a few highs last year, you know, beating Boston College on the road, beating Texas Tech at the last minute, almost beating Texas in Austin. There were a couple encouraging moments there where you felt like, if Kansas can become more consistent and recruit a little bit better, you know, maybe they can find a way to continue to be a little bit of a spoiler in the Big 12. It's still going to be a long process for Les Miles in Kansas, but, I think they're confident that they're getting a little bit better there.
Max, with seemingly every Power 5 program returning to campus in time to start the season, quote-unquote, on time, it looks like that's just going to happen at this point. But what do you think it looks like in the stadiums, from people that you're talking to? What we saw, Iowa State said they're thinking about, they're going to sell 30,000 season tickets this year, and maybe it's only going to be 50% capacity. What do you think it looks like in the stadiums on September 5th?
Yeah, for me, that stuff still sort of feels like wishful thinking. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I go to the grocery store where there's 100 people, and it's not like anybody's really following distancing there. It's hard not to be a little uncomfortable even in that setting. So to think about 20,000, 30,000, half capacity, I understand why these schools have to pursue that, because from a financial standpoint, it's pretty imperative that they get some people in the stands if they're allowed to, and certainly it's going to be fascinating kind of state by state if they are allowed to gather in that kind of size crowds. But I think ADs are really trying to, you know, carefully come up with a plan that you can get some quantity of fans in the stadium in a safe way. Obviously, there are so many logistics that come with that to try to feel like you're doing that in a safe way. And because obviously there is a ton of liability that comes with that too. So I think you're going to continue to hear more sort of proposals like that of, you know, can we do 20,000, 30,000, 40,000? But it's going to be a long summer of sort of working out all of the steps that need to be in place in order to make that a possibility. And then once we get there, certainly I think we're all going to have to cross our fingers that goes well and doesn't really backfire.
Max, we've talked about some of the teams in the Big 12. We haven't hit on all of them. Is there a team right now that we're talking about college football again, that's maybe flying under the radar, that had a down year last year, that can make that Baylor-type run this year?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I'm going to continue to say I think it can be Iowa State, and they continue to not live up to my hopes. But I really believe in Matt Campbell and what they're doing there. And I just, the last couple of years, they've just had a hard time kind of starting hot in September. And, you know, they really need to get over, you know, they need to beat Iowa, and they need to kind of get a good run going in September here. But I think the pieces have come together. I think Brock Purdy, their quarterback, has a chance to be one of the best in the country. And they found a really talented running back last year in Breece Hall, who's now just a sophomore. They've continued to play really good defense. Like, I think it's still coming together for them. You know, can they build a roster that can win more than 8 games? I think they're heading in the right direction, and I think they continue to be the team that in the Big 12 that frustrates a lot of people. So, you know, I think Iowa State, and then certainly just Oklahoma State, with how much they bring back, there's certainly a ton of confidence there with Chuba Hubbard and Tylan Wallace and Spencer Sanders that they can score a ton of points and be one of the best teams in the country.
Max, give me a realistic Heisman Trophy candidate, not named Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, or whoever Oklahoma starts at quarterback, because it doesn't really matter. They seem to have a Heisman finalist every year.
Yeah, so we did this draft on The Athletic that we ran this week, and the fine folks on our staff allowed me to draft Jamie Newman and Sam Ellinger and Mac Jones in my first 3 rounds. So I'm feeling pretty good that I got at least one of those guys is going to pay off for me, right?
I think it's pretty solid.
The Newman one's fascinating because certainly if this were like maybe a more normal offseason, I think there probably would be that kind of hype like Joe Burrow of, wow, he's going to a big-time program who's fixing their offense with Todd Monken. I'm really curious to see if can Georgia play good enough defense to really make a run and put Newman in a position to be that guy. I think the one guy that we're probably not talking about enough that I'm really high on is, I kind of think Keaton Slovis at USC has a chance to really get a lot of people's attention. He was really terrific as a true freshman last year. I think Graham Harrell does a great job with that offense. And, they lost Michael Pittman and some key pieces. But I think Keaton Slovis has a chance to really break out this year.
Yeah, and don't sleep on Jake Bentley, the transfer from South Carolina, is going to be there at Utah. I mean, what does he look like in that offense? That's certainly a possibility as well. Jamie Newman, that's fascinating. So you drafted him. The expectations on Jamie Newman are crazy and maybe just unfair with what people – I mean, based on what you saw at Wake Forest, not knowing what the offense is going to look like in Athens this season, I mean, is it unfair to put those kind of expectations on him? What do you think it's going to look like?
Well, it's important to point out what you said is based on what you saw at Wake Forest. I don't think most people watch Wake Forest football at all, right? So, I think it's fair that we're probably, attaching really high hopes to a guy that I think probably most college football fans have not really seen him play a ton. But I just think as we're doing that Heisman exercise, look, the way this goes every year is the starting quarterback of a playoff-caliber team is always going to have a chance to go to New York. That's just sort of how this whole thing goes. So I was a little nervous about taking Newman fourth in our deal after Spencer Rattler from OU went third. But, I like Todd Monken. I think clearly they need to change what they're doing offensively. And I think the pieces can come together. But, it's a lot being put on Jamie Newman. And certainly, that might be a little bit unfair just based on reasonable expectations.
Well, I would ask you your 4 teams that you're going to predict for the college football playoff, but we'll get down the road. I'm not going to ask you right now because I know 2 of the teams you've probably penciled in, and it's Clemson and Ohio State like everybody else.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, especially with what we went through this spring, it sort of makes more sense to feel like it's going to be a little more chalk this year if we're able to get to a playoff where, the programs like Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State, I think just have a huge advantage from their stability and the fact that, they can sort of get through this shutdown in good shape because of the infrastructures they built up.
Always great information. Max Olson at The Athletic. You can follow Max on Twitter as we do, @Max_Olson. Max, we appreciate it. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you hopefully here in about a month when we get closer.
Hey, thanks, fellas.
All right, Max Olson joining us here on 3-Man Front, Jackson 845.